As we continue our study for this year of the way, we recall that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me. And if you've heard our previous lessons, doing one a month, okay, the way is a path, it's a map, it's a choice, it's a goal, it's a way of doing things, it's a method of living. And as you list this sermon, I want you to think of the first and the last there, the path and the method of living. Because as we look at baptism, I think we're going to look at it a little different way. Here's where we are. Is that halfway through? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep, this is, no, next time is halfway through. I want you to we're going to think about baptism a little bit different. And I've got to say that in churches of Christ, I have been places where every sermon was about baptism. In fact, the story is told of the preacher who was finally called in by his elders and says, you have been preaching on baptism too much. Can you quit preaching on baptism? Or we're going to have to let you go. So he got up the next week and says, today's lesson is on creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let me tell you how that relates to baptism. So you've probably all been there. But probably here at Pecan Grove, maybe we've swung a little too far the other direction. Although I did notice that John covered baptism last week after I specifically asked him not to. But anyway, I know I looked out a lot of you all. Well, anyway, never mind. That happens. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about baptism. If I asked you to hold up your hands, and I'm not going to do it, all adults here who have been baptized, I'm going to guess that nearly everyone, if not everyone, would hold up their hands. And so you might ask, well, if that's true, why are you talking about baptism? Well, we're going to get into that. But I do want to say to those of you who would not hold up your hand, you need to be baptized, okay? You really do. If you're following the Lord, you need to be baptized. You know, Jesus' earthly ministry began with, in those days, Jesus of Nazareth came from Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Jesus' ministry began with baptism. Jesus' ministry ended with baptism. Go therefore, I got the verse wrong here by the way, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere the apostles went, they baptized new Christians. Peter, and that really should be Peter and the 12, baptized. Philip baptized. Paul baptized. It's all through the New Testament. In fact, it is so pervasive that rarely do they teach on baptism. They use it as an illustration. Okay? And what do you use as an illustration? Something that people know about. So if you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. There's another reason you need to be baptized. Because baptism, it doesn't quit. Okay? We think of baptism as a kind of like freshman orientation. Kind of like a beginning. Kind of like, you go to the Rangers game and you buy your ticket. Okay? And you get into the game. We think of baptism as getting in to the way, to the path, you know, and somebody took my, I had last time I was up here, we had a nice path here that I was able to use. What happened to that? I just noticed it's not here. You know, if we think of baptism, you remember the path over here, it's kind of the beginning, don't we? And it is. Okay, it is. It's a beginning. But I want you to realize that it's more than that. Your baptism is something you can use every day of your Christian life. Okay? Every day of your Christian life. So let's talk about that. Okay. Well, baptism first, it looks backward. Okay. Maybe you look backward on your baptism, but baptism as an institution. And by the way, if we read our New Testaments, we only find two rites, two rituals that Christians go through, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Okay. So it looks backward. Okay. It looked back to Noah's covenant, okay? Salvation through water. Peter wrote this when God's nations waited in the days of Noah when the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought to safety through water. Okay, water is how this whole process of getting rid of sin and starting over took place. Okay, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Baptism looks backward to Abraham's covenant, to circumcision. Baptism is the new circumcision. It is, we might call it, the Christian circumcision. Paul wrote this to the Colossians. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. It's not the old circumcision. It's a new circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. Baptism looks backward to the Mosaic covenant. Okay? To freedom from slavery, from being taken out of slavery in Egypt and into the Lord's blessing. Okay, and I want you to know, Paul wrote to Corinthians, that our fathers were all under the cloud. That's the cloud that led them. And all passed through the sea. That's the Red Sea. And all were baptized into Moses and the cloud and in the sea. Baptism is not something new. Baptism reflects the way God has been dealing with people since the beginning. Okay, but baptism always also looks forward. And you might ask yourself, well, you know, I was baptized when I was 11. I think that's a little early. That's my opinion. But I've known of people as baptized as early as 6. I don't know what age you were when you were baptized, if you were baptized. Okay, but it looks forward because we can look back at it. You kind of get what I'm saying? Baptism looks forward in our life. It helps us today maybe more than it helped us on the day we were baptized. Now, what am I getting at? Okay, well, John has mentioned psychology. Have you ever noticed that every once in a while he mentions it when he gets up here? And one of the tenets of psychology, are you an anti-behaviorist? Yeah. One of the things behaviorism has taught us, that we learn by experience. Okay. When a horse does something right, you give it a little something good to eat, right? When a dog does something wrong, don't kick the dog. Okay, we quit that. We don't kick the dog anymore. Yeah. Reward and punishment works. Okay. And one of the great things about baptism by immersion is you get to feel the water. You get to go through the experience of going down into the water and coming up out of the water. And you, as you come up, you're wet. Now the guy that, have you ever noticed the guy that baptizes you doesn't get wet? Now that's not always true, okay? We had a pair of waders that leaked for a while, okay? And you look at the river baptisms and the preacher, he's down there, you know, with everybody else. One of the early teachings of the church that was at the early church, that people were baptized naked, and that was one of the functions of the deaconesses, to do the baptizing of the women. But that, I go far astray there. But it's an experience. You went through it's something that you can remember. You understand you went in dry and you came out wet. And when you came out, you were not the same as you went in. Now, unfortunately, let me go over here. Science kind of got in our way because you dry out, don't you? Okay. Yeah, one of the things I have always liked about baptism, and particularly with us where we have the meal later, is whoever got baptized, they're going to dry off, but their hair is still going to be wet. Have you ever noticed that? I kind of like that. I don't know why, because it's like lasting a little longer, but sometimes when we dry out spiritually. You know what I'm saying? We forget. We don't hold on to that experience, which is where we met the blood of Jesus, where we did something that Jesus wants us to do, that we did something that Jesus did himself, or had done to him, I guess would be a better way to say it, and we've experienced it. And we can use that for the rest of our lives, okay? All right. Baptism brings us into the Holy Spirit, okay? Baptism brings us into sonship. Okay. And baptism brings us into the new life. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Paul writes to the Corinthians. One of the things our baptism does for us in our daily life, in today, yesterday, tomorrow, not only when we were baptized, it is identifies us with other people who are following Christ. That's kind of how you get into the club. Okay? It's kind of like, you know, I have never been a Mason. Maybe we've had a Mason, but the thing was always that the Masons had a special handshake. Okay? Secret handshake. Well, baptism is not secret. It's done openly, but it is kind of that handshake. Okay, that we're in a club, and it's Jesus' club. It's God's club. It's the right club. It's the powerful club, and we're in. We're not out. Okay, so you can say to yourself, as you know, the story goes that when the Pope excommunicated Martin Luther, he says, "Were we not both baptized? How does he have any right to do this to me?" Okay, and we kind of are sympathetic to that, don't we? Baptism allows us to live this life realizing the reality of our relationship not only to God, not only to Christ, but to other Christians. We're made to drink of one Spirit. We're made. Sonship. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are family. Okay? And that family association is promulgated through baptism. We're joined in through baptism. Now I got to get back over here. You know, we don't always like everybody in our family. Have you noticed that? And I'm talking about our real family, and I'm talking about our church family, okay? Well, don't worry about that, because the fact that they are baptized, the fact that you are baptized, transcends our own foibles, our own ability to get along, our own ability to really like one another, our own ability to not think, that old so-and-so, it's bigger than that, okay? Just like two brothers, it's bigger than them fighting. Just like two sisters, it's bigger than them fighting. Just like a brother and sister, I don't know if it's bigger than that, but yeah, it is. Okay. You know, that can get pretty big. Okay. It's bigger. It binds us together when we don't want to be bound. It binds us together when we're too weak to understand that Jesus loves both of us. I think that's out of the... what's the one where the girl was possessed? Yeah, there you go. No, the exorcism. The exorcist, okay, don't worry about it. We've all been baptized, right? We're safe. We're safe. We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. I hadn't thought about that. We don't have to worry about that, okay? The devil can't get us, okay? Why? Because we've been baptized. All right, so we're in a family, and this family relationship doesn't have to do with DNA. It doesn't have to do with genes. It doesn't have to do with who our mother and daddy were in the physical sense. It has to do with our unity, which comes through baptism. And then finally, it's a new life. Okay. And do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And you're going, wait a minute, I thought we're talking about life here. Well, just wait a minute. Okay. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism and death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We're baptized into the death. We're baptized into the blood. We're baptized into all the seeming failure of life, which Jesus conquered and turned around from being failure to being success, turned around from being death to being life, This is what we do. Now, if you were like me and you were baptized at a fairly young age, you didn't understand all this. Okay? You understand that probably that you ought to do this. You understood that the church around you was very supportive and people were happy that you did it. You understood that you got wet. You understood that it was a little bit nerve-wracking, okay? You know, I was baptized by my father, so I had been swimming with him a lot, and I trusted him in the water, but you may not trust this person in the water, you know, when he's got you under. What if he has a heart attack? No, I didn't, you know, that's too much. We're going too far. But, you know, all that stuff is kind of goes on, but you don't understand all this stuff. But if you stay close to your baptism, if you think about your baptism, if you live your life in accordance with your baptism, you begin to understand this stuff. Okay? Because guess what happens to Christians that follow Christ? They get better. They begin to understand this daily renewal. They understand the relationship between failure in this world and success in the next. They understand that when things don't go as we want them to go, it's not the end. It's not defeat. It's not bad. In fact, sometimes it's good. And even if it's really bad, it doesn't matter because it's good in the end. And so this process that begins when we come up wet, when we go to the potluck with our hair still wet, okay, continues on. And if we've kind of dried out in our Christianity, you know what I mean? I'm using this wet. If we've kind of dried out in our Christianity, we need to remember what it felt like to be wet. Okay? We need to felt like what it felt like to be new. And if we have not increased our knowledge of this newness of life, we need to work on it. And one of the ways we work on it is, I've been baptized. I've been washed in blood. You know, I have the power of Jesus. I have all these things which are promised in the New Testament to live in my life, not just 1959 or whatever your date is, okay, but continually. So don't forget your baptism, okay? Just don't forget it. Keep it close to you. We sometimes call this going back to basics. And that's not a bad thing to do every once in a while. Recounting, looking back. Okay. And that's the lesson. Except, there may be someone here who I have left out in this sermon. Okay. Who doesn't have anything to remember. Who doesn't know what the wetness was like. If you're following the Lord, you're missing something. Okay. If you're not following the Lord, you need to follow the Lord, which needs to lead you to baptism, which needs to lead you to the Holy Spirit, to sonship, and to the newness of life.